Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Small Business Teletown Hall. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Assemblymember Sabrina Cervantes. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I hope that each of your families are healthy and safe during these challenging times. I want to thank each of you for joining us today. I'm grateful to have this opportunity to have this discussion on a very important issue. Again, I am Assemblymember Sabrina Cervantes, representing the 60th Assembly District in the state legislature, as I am currently in my fourth year. I'm also in my second year as chair of the Assembly Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and the Economy. And as chair of the committee, there is no greater priority for me than supporting the upward mobility and economic prosperity for all Californians. That has been a focus of mine since the very beginning. Unfortunately, during these times, many of our small businesses have really felt the brunt of the economic impact of this pandemic, and which has really brought us together for this conversation. We want to hear directly from you all about the challenges you are facing. Your input is critical to our decision-making as we move forward at the state and local levels in implementing policies. Many small business owners have already contacted my office to share their personal stories and have inquired about many resources available to them through these trying times. Many of these inquiries intersect with the world of insurance, including business interruption insurance, which is why I'm so happy to be joined by today our California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara and his dynamic staff. Commissioner Lara's office has served as a great resource for my constituents who have experienced insurance-related issues, specifically when it comes to returning insurance premiums and ticket insurance funds. During these times of financial uncertainty, we cannot underestimate how far a dollar can really go. For some of our families, it means all the difference, as we know. And I just want to personally thank Commissioner Lara and his team for being that resource that many of our constituents need, especially during these challenging times. Like the Department of Insurance, the Orange County Inland Empire Small Business Development Center, OCICSBDC, has served as a great resource for our communities and local businesses in the region. So also joining us on this call to discuss resources available for small businesses is the regional director for the OCIE SBDC, is Mike Daniel. Mike actually happens to be a small business owner himself and brings an expertise and perspective of the challenges small business owners are facing. So I want to thank you, Mike, for joining us and helping us navigate through this field of small business resources during this pandemic. I want to take the opportunity to remind everyone that May is Small Business Month. So now more than ever, one of the best ways to honor our small businesses is to actually support them, going out and purchasing from small businesses in any way that we can. We are in uncharted territory, but I know that together with all of you, with the commissioner, with Mike, my team and I, we're all up to the task. So even if your insurance policies have not been impacted or you're not a small business owner yourself, we all know someone who has been drastically impacted by this pandemic. So sharing the valuable information provided on this call can go a long way for our community as a whole. We're all in this together, and together I know that we can overcome. With that being said, I would like to pass it on to our commissioner, Commissioner Lara. I'll hand it off to you.
Thank you, Assemblywoman. It's great to hear your voice and glad that you're safe and healthy. And thank you for your leadership during this difficult time. And I also want to take a moment to thank your staff for their incredible work on putting this together and the various panelists who are here to really inform and provide some sort of critical information that our businesses are in dire need of, given this extraordinary time we're living in. And as we look ahead to getting our economy back on track, you know, we have a lot of work to do to assist our small businesses and their workers. you know, new data continues to show unprecedented job loss in Riverside County. The Department of Insurance has taken a number of steps to help small businesses. As you mentioned, Assemblywoman, I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by COVID-19 for March and April during the stay-at-home orders. And given the reduced losses have now continued, last Friday I extended my order to include the month of May as well. And my order covers at least six different lines of insurance where the risk has essentially fallen as a result of the pandemic. And although the majority of the media is centered around the private passenger automobile insurance, which is, you know, our private automobile insurance that we have, we also have five other lines that are critical to our small businesses and our businesses in general. The refund also includes commercial automobile insurance. It includes workers' compensation insurance, commercial multi-peril insurance, commercial liability insurance, and medical malpractice insurance. And this is really for our dentists, orthodontists, chiropractors, psychiatrists, et cetera, that have their own practice and have seen a loss, a demonization of their risk because, frankly, they're not practicing their hours that they would have been if the pandemic wasn't here. So with many businesses closed due to COVID-19, businesses need relief from premiums that no longer really reflect the present-day risk of loss. And by requiring insurance companies to return premiums, it puts money back, like I said, in your pockets and reduces your future costs when you need it the most. As a business owner, those of you on the line, you should know that, you know, you shouldn't have to do anything to receive the refund. Insurance companies must provide the relief as soon as possible, and this could be in the form of a premium credit, a reduction, return of premium, for example, or other adjustments that gets funds back to you or reduces what you owe in the future, which all is very helpful. The amount you're going to get back, which is a lot of the questions we get, will vary by company and your policy. As you can imagine, those are very different policies, and coverage is, in many cases, changes. And it will be a percentage of your premium for, like I said, for March, April, and May. There's another recommendation that we ask our businesses to do is to also contact your insurance company and provide your actual or estimated change in payroll, and that includes business receipts. And you can possibly qualify for even a larger discount because, again, you're proving that your risk profile has significantly dropped. And I should also say that in June, we will be receiving all the information on what the insurance companies have done in terms of the percentage of a discount, the percentage of refund, because we are going to have our actuaries in the department look to make sure that the consumers aren't being shortchanged and that our businesses aren't being shortchanged, so that we are verifying whatever percentage that they are giving that is actually appropriate given the risk of your individual policy and your profile in terms of your business. So we will be double checking, and we're not, you know, we're going to trust, but we're also going to verify that the insurance companies are doing the right thing. And this really builds on an action that I took last month to request insurance companies that at a minimum give a 60-day grace period for businesses to pay premiums. Many insurance companies have honored that request by offering some flexibility to consumers and to businesses during this national emergency. Last week, again, I extended my grace period request until July because Californians continue to face unprecedented challenges due to the pandemic. So if you are a business or a consumer that's having a difficult time paying your premium for your coverage, contact your insurance company. They should be giving you that 60-day extension. And if that's not the case, we'll give you a number so that we can help you follow up as well and connect with your insurance company through our consumer services branch. Again, the Assemblywoman brought up the issue of business interruption. As you can imagine, my department has also received a number of complaints regarding business interruption insurance, and many businesses have looked at their insurance policies for possible coverage. Each insurance policy, as we all know, is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including in California, which concern the proper interpretation of what these policies are and whether such policies cover losses due to COVID-19. And while these cases move to the courts, we will be monitoring to see the outcome of these cases. I have also taken several significant steps to address this issue of business interruption. As you can imagine, this is on such an unprecedented level that we've ever seen before. We have been tracking and following business interruption after, for example, our devastating fires that we suffered last year and flooding and earthquakes, but nothing of this magnitude. So we are all learning through this process together. But we did learn that some insurance companies are denying business interruption claims without a thorough investigation or even discouraging many business owners from filing a claim, and that's simply unacceptable. On April 14th, in response to numerous complaints from businesses, public officials, and stakeholders, I required insurance companies to comply with their contracts and California law by fairly investigating all business interruption claims caused by COVID-19, just as they would any other disaster. And my department will be watching to make sure they do. Again, if you're a business owner that has communicated with your insurance company and they're simply just flat out denying you even an investigation or being able to file a claim, I'm going to give you a number so that you can reach out to us so that we can follow up with you. The other point that I want to just quickly close on, because I know we have other folks on the line, is workers' compensation. On May 6th, Governor Newsom signed an executive order extending workers' compensation eligibility for workers who were exposed to or contracted COVID-19. This order applies to any worker to any workers who tested positive or were diagnosed with COVID-19 after the stay-at-home order was issued on March 19th, and it's also within 14 days of performing a labor or a service to at the place of work. Now, I want to be very clear. The governor's order is a rebuttable presumption, and a rebuttable presumption means that employers will have a chance to prove that the illness is not work-related. The presumption will stay in place for 60 days from the date of the executive order as well. It is important to note that we will take some time to see the impact of COVID-19 on our workers' compensation system. Businesses that are closed and have drastically reduced payrolls may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term, and added with the orders that I talked about earlier of premium rebates that will include workers' compensation insurance for that reason. So under current workers' compensation regulations, payrolls include payments to employees who are furloughed, even though they are not working, which means that employers' rates would remain the same as if the employees were still in the workplace performing the regular duties. Earlier this week, my department held a hearing to consider proposed emergency regulations, which would make changes intended to reflect the lower risk for worker injury in light of the pandemic. I will be reviewing the proposed regulations and determine whether they are consistent with my overall mandate to reduce premiums to reflect the reduced risk for our business community. So again, just want to thank you and also know that we urge all businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams. Unfortunately, during these major cataclysmic events, we see people trying to scam the system. And so please report any suspicious activity to our Department of Insurance. We have 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices throughout the entire state, including our office in Rancho Cucamonga, which serves Riverside County. And just be on the lookout for those offering bogus workers' compensation policies. Be on alert for fraudulent workers' compensation claims by employees. And you can report any suspected insurance scams to the Department of Insurance at 1-800-927-4357 or through our website at insurance.ca.gov. Thank you so much. Look forward to answering your questions. And I have 2 of my staff who will be also on the line to be answering questions who are seasoned professionals that have been working on these issues for some time now. Thank you so much.
Mike, would you like to provide opening comments?
Sure. Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you so much, Assembly Member Cervantes, for having me on. And I also want to thank the Insurance Commissioner. That was amazing information, and you know, probably like many of you, I filed a business interruption policy claim, and within an hour received a denial letter. So that was amazing information. So with that, I work with the Orange County Inland Empire Small Business Development Center Network. So we are a federally funded program and receive funding from the federal government through the Small Business Administration, through the state of California, and through many other resources. And so what we provide is one-on-one training and consulting for businesses that, you know, in typical times, we're helping people start, grow, and possibly sell and exit out of their business. Obviously, in COVID-19 times, it's really helping people figure out how to survive where we're at today, and then hopefully how to recover as we move forward and hopefully move into phases where we're starting to reopen our business or move from a skeleton crew. So a little bit about, you know, myself. You know, I am a business owner as well. I own a couple of Rocky Mountain chocolate factories and a candy store in Long Beach. And I currently have one location open and two I'm waiting to open. But, you know, like many of you, have been hit hard and trying to understand, you know, funding and what's available through, you know, unfortunately we all know these acronyms now, but EIDL or Economic Injury Disaster Loan or PPP or Paycheck Protection Program. The state of California has a loan program. There's a lot of different grant programs out. So trying to navigate through what's available to you as a business owner, what's it going to look like as I bring back employees, what happens if my employees don't want to come back because they're making more on unemployment and pandemic unemployment assistance. So kind of navigating through that, we help you one-on-one through all of those pieces for your business. But, you know, the bulk of really what to talk about today is, you know, as you have a lease, if you have a commercial space and you have a lease, we did a poll of about 1,000 businesses that we're helping and found that about 90% of the businesses weren't offered any deferment or abatement, meaning the rent is due, pay it, you know, or, you know, when we're able to take action, we will. So helping you really negotiate with your landlord what that lease could be, if you're able to defer it, if you're able to abate it, we want to help you have those conversations. My suggestion to you is try to keep it positive, but come armed with information, right? Don't just come to them and say, my business is closed, I need you to, you know, I can't pay rent. Come with solutions and solutions that will work for you and for the landlord. That's really my first set, my suggestion. If you have a current loan that you had prior to COVID-19, call your lender and ask them to defer those payments. Most lenders are willing to defer payments for 90 days with nothing more than a telephone call or an email to them. So make sure that you're doing those things. And then to really bring you up to speed with the Economic Injury Disaster Loan and the Paycheck Protection Program, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, we do have a call every day helping people understand what it is, if you applied for it and where you're at in the queue. And just so you're aware, there are 5 million applications in the queue. That is a tremendous amount of loan applications that they're trying to get through. But we are starting to see progress. And so if you applied, what we're seeing right now is really people that applied from March 30th to about April 5th are starting to receive funding. And it's really odd, you know, that advanced portion of how it drops into your account, it just falls into your account. That was the advanced portion that if you applied after March 30th, you would have clicked on a box. And based on the number of employees is what you would receive. The EIDL funding itself, we're seeing businesses get anywhere from $1,000 to roughly about $150,000. This seems to be about the max right now that they're offering businesses, but it is coming. It's just going to take them several months, I think, to get through everybody's because there are so many applications in the system. And just to give you some numbers, the EIDL loan or Economic Injury Disaster Loan through the SBA is an amazing product. It is, you know, if you qualify for $25,000, over a 30-year period at 3.75% interest, you'd be paying roughly about $116 a month. For $100,000 for over a 30-year period, you'd be paying roughly about $465 a month. So it's a very affordable loan to get you really through survival right now and then into recovery. And that's what we want to see is that recovery piece. The next loan is the Paycheck Protection Program loan. And it's very hard to understand it, and I know that they continually come out with different pieces, and everybody hears a little bit and don't really know what to do. We do have, like I said, a daily call at 3 o'clock where we're showing you and breaking down, one, what the program is, and then just keep in mind, guidance came out from the SBA on Friday and Monday of what the forgiveness is, but it was 11 pages long. It is still not clear to businesses like yours and mine that, you know, we have a couple of employees, we need a CPA to help us figure it out. There, I think the SBA is still working through how to help businesses that received, you know, less than $2 million in Paycheck Protection Program. How can we fill it out ourselves so that we don't need to hire somebody to fill these things out? But we will help you one-on-one, try to get through all of this, and there's still guidance coming. If you weren't able to receive Paycheck Protection Program, there is still roughly about $100 billion in that program. There are a lot of lenders out there that people have never heard of that are still lending. The one closest to you that I would suggest giving them a call if you haven't already is AMPAC CDC. Again, AMPAC CDC, they're in Grand Terrace in San Bernardino County. They're a great one. PayPal online has been amazing for a lot of our clients. You can be a sole proprietor, you can be an independent contractor, C Corp, S Corp, LLC. You can qualify for Paycheck Protection Program. You just need to understand what it's for. It's really to pay back, to pay for your employees over an 8-week period. So it starts very fast. And if you're not able to fulfill all the payment to your employees, then it turns into a loan, which when it turns into a loan, it's a 2-year, 1% interest loan. That loan becomes sizable because it's such a quick payback. So if you are going to apply for a Paycheck Protection Program, let me help you pencil it out first, just so that you're aware of what it is. And then as you're starting to reopen your business and you're starting to kind of think through other things, the state of California has a loan program as well through iBank that if you happen to not get EIDL funding or Paycheck Protection Program funding, this is a loan at 4.75% for up to $50,000. And nonprofits are eligible to apply as well, a 501c3 or C19. So that's another option for you. We are helping cities and counties throughout Orange County and Inland Empire create their own grant and loan programs. In fact, we just kicked off a grant program with Buena Park today for $10,000 grant funding, and Anaheim as well. It was a $10,000 forgivable grant or loan. I know that the County of San Bernardino has an amazing COVID-compliant business partner grant that is $2,500 for your business to prepare for social distancing and sanitizing your business and PPE for your business. So it's $2,500 to businesses that meet a certain criteria. And then I know that the County of Riverside is working on a grant program as well at this moment. So I think you're going to see a lot of movement, a lot of funding. I do have a stat here from JP Morgan Chase. They did a survey prior to COVID of 600,000 small businesses, and what they found was the average business has roughly 25 days of working capital in their business. And so now that we move on to really day 70 of our businesses either being shut down or working off of a skeleton crew, I think everyone knows that capital is the biggest need, and I think you're starting to see from the federal level to the state level, all the way down to the local level, that they are trying to get money into your pocket. But I'm going to give you our number. It's 1-800-616-7232. Again, 1-800-616-7232. Or you can go to OCIESmallbusiness.org and find the center that's closest to you. We have 8 centers spread throughout our 3-county region. We're here to help you. Like I said, we are all going through this exact same issue, but we want to help you the best that we can really survive where we're at today and recover shortly. And I know that, you know, counties are looking to reopen and move into stage 3 and phase 3. So, I mean, just make sure that you understand where you fit and how to best open so that you're taking care of yourself, your employees, and your customers and clients. So with that, thank you so much, Assemblywoman, and I will stay here for questions.
Thank you so much, Mike. That was great information. Now I would like to take a moment to introduce our moderator for today's call, Toni Simons, Chief Consultant for the Jobs Committee.
Hello. Thank you, Assemblymember. So before we start our questions, let me just thank everyone who submitted questions. A number of the questions have been consolidated because there were really a number of key things that kept being asked. But due to the overall number of questions we received, we may not be able to get through all of them today, but please know that your answers will be completed, and they're actually going to be posted on the Department of Insurance's website, and we'll have a link from that, from the Assembly Member's website, once that goes up. So even if we don't get to your questions, we will make sure that they're answered. And for all those that are on the line, we'll actually email you the contact information so that you'll be able to follow it. So our first question today is going to be for the Insurance Commissioner and the Department of Insurance staff. This listener or this person writes in, I paid my insurance and understand it included business interruption coverage. Why isn't loss of business due to the COVID-19 pandemic covered?
Great. Thank you, Toni. And hi, Toni. It's great to hear your voice as well, and I'm glad you're safe. We're always good to interact with former staff. Once a staffer, always a staffer. Thank you. That's a great question. You know, the first thing to know is that all policies are not the same. we all need to we would need to look at the specific policy to better understand what coverages and exclusions you have. If you have business interruption coverage, but your insurance company is telling you that these losses are not covered due to exclusions in your policy, we recommend that you file a former claim with your insurance company. Insurance companies, like I said earlier, are legally required to fairly investigate your claim and formally respond back to you with their coverage decision and the reason for any denials they may make. I issued that notice, again, to all agents, brokers, and insurance companies, reminding them of their obligations under the law to fairly investigate all business interruption insurance claims submitted by businesses. I would like to have my staff, Tony Signorelli, our Deputy Commissioner for Consumer Services, if he can provide a little more detail, since he's working on these individual case-by-case with claims with many businesses throughout the state. Tony, are you on?
Yes, Commissioner. Thank you. As Commissioner Lara mentioned earlier in his introductory remarks, there are several lawsuits going on, and a lot of those center around interpretation of the various pieces of your insurance policy. It can get pretty legalistic and complicated, but there are a couple main areas. Number one, the main area is a lot of policies have a virus exclusion, a contamination or virus exclusion. And so it'll be important for you as a business owner to look at your policy to see if you have a virus exclusion, and not only whether you have a virus exclusion, but whether that exclusion applies to all the coverages that you're seeking. It may apply to some coverages and may not apply to other coverages. So that's one of the things we would look at. Another challenge that we see, and that it's also being played out in the courts, is whether a virus or a contamination is considered physical damage or loss to your property, which would trigger your coverage, which would trigger your business interruption coverage. And so that's another area that we would look at to see what were the facts of the case and how does it apply to your particular policy. And so all these different hurdles exist, but as Commissioner Lara mentioned, please file your claim. Don't take the insurance company's word for it, that it, or your agent or broker saying, don't bother filing because it's not covered and you're just wasting your time. Force the insurance company to investigate the claim fully. Force them to formally respond to the claim in writing. So this way, if you do come to us, at least we know what their formal position is, and it gives us a good starting point for seeing whether we can assist you or not. And as Commissioner mentioned with a phone number, please, if your claim is denied or if you're not being allowed to file a claim, contact us at our consumer services hotline and file a request for assistance with us. At our phone number is 800-927-4357, or you can go onto our website and file a request for assistance online at insurance.ca.gov. We'll assign it to one of our claims experts who will look at your policy, talk to the insurance company, get their information, and so we can see what we can do to assist you with that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I think that is going to be so important to a lot of the people that are on the line. So our second question is for Assemblymember Cervantes. This person writes in, we received several questions about the reopening, and our people are wondering, when are we going to be able to enter phase three, and why don't we give safety guidelines to all small businesses and just let them open up right now?
Thank you for that question. Well, because the situation continues to evolve in real time, it's actually very difficult to provide a precise timeline for reopening. But in a state as expansive as California is, each region has its own unique and distinctive needs, as we all know. The administration is working with our county and our cities to assure that small businesses meet the criteria for stage two of reopening our economy. This week, the state modified the criteria for counties to continue to advance into stage two expansion, which would allow for even more businesses to reopen statewide. Last week, the County of Riverside announced that they have submitted their county variance attestation to be able to enter into the next phase of stage two. I know that the county is currently working with surrounding counties and the state to move us into stage the second part of stage two, while also ensuring that businesses are well-equipped to minimize the risk to their employees as well as to customers, which is the top priority. Just bear in mind, consumers also require a level of confidence in order to reopen the economy while exercising health and safety practices.
Oh, well, thank you. That was very helpful. So our third question actually goes to Mike Daniels in the SBDC. This person writes, I'm a small business owner. I applied for the Paycheck Protection Program at different banks, actually three different banks, and I never received an answer with regards to my application. Do you have a list of lenders that are willing to work with small businesses during the pandemic?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much. That is a great question. I know people were very frustrated in the first round. And so, as I mentioned a little earlier, there's still $100 billion of PPP funding available. And I'll just briefly go through the five that I mentioned real quick, and not supporting any particular one. They're just ones that we've seen a lot of people with success with. It's AMPAC, CDC, and Grand Terrace. It would be Clearinghouse CDFI in Lake Forest in Orange County, PayPal Online, Lendio, L-E-N-D-I-O, and there's several others, and Cabbage is another one, K-A-B-B-A-G-E, and those are three online lenders. There are a lot of community banks and community development financial institutions that are offering this, and so sometimes starting small, but what I would also caution you to do is to make sure that those other lenders have pulled your application just in case they're trying to get it through the system. So what I'd like to do is give you my email address directly. It's M-I-Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, at fullerton.edu. Send it to me and I will push it up to the SBA district office where they can actually go into the ETRAN site and see where you're at in all three of those application systems, just in case there was a problem with all three, maybe stop the whole application process together. But send me your information and just send me an email and I will help figure that out for you.
Okay, perfect. So our next question is for the Commissioner of the Department of Insurance. So what are my options if I do not have coverage for business losses due to the COVID-19 virus? Are there other options for me?
Great question. If you truly don't have any business interruption coverage, you should look at various federal, state, and local programs available through the SBA and other sources. Again, you know, we can help you navigate what some potential options are for you if you reach out to our office. Tony, can you what else have we been offering to folks who might not have any type of business loss coverage?
Well, Commissioner, you said it really is. We would refer them to the other, both the SBA and the programs that we've been hearing about today, as well as in other programs that might be available to them, both at the federal, state, or local level. But we would also definitely want to make sure that you, number one, don't have business interruption coverage, and you're not being told that you don't have it by your agent or broker improperly. So we would like the opportunity to take a look at what coverages you do have and then refer you out to some of these other programs.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. So now we have another question for the assembly member. Do you have any word about when we're going to be able to go back up to Mount Rubidoux? I heard it's being reopened. I understand there's social distancing. Can you give me any information about that?
Thank you so much, Tony. So I do just quickly want to share with you, last week Riverside City Council voted in favor of reopening Mount Rubidoux. I know that we've been getting this question a lot as well at our state office. So they have decided to reopen Mount Rubidoux tomorrow, Friday, May 22nd. The city actually established specific entrance restrictions, but it will be open to the public once again, as well as the public restrooms and the parking lot at Ryan Bonamino Park, which is right across the street from Mount Rubidoux. So enjoy. It should be a lovely weekend to go up and hike. But again, it is open to the public.
Oh, well, that is excellent news. And of course, we'll all be observing social distancing. So our next question is for Mike Daniels with the SBDC. How can a micro sole proprietorship business, such as a barber, a tour guide, a nail clinic, or a gardener, without any employees, can they get any financial assistance?
Absolutely. So a couple different things that are available to you based on the state of your business. So let's start with the funding side. If you're no longer in business or you're still operating, you can qualify for Paycheck Protection Program. And so what you would do, just to understand how much you qualify for, you go to your 1040 that you file and go to your 2019 1040. If you didn't file your 2019, that's okay. Go to your 2018 for now. Go to line 31, divide by 12, and multiply by 2.5, and don't ask me where the SBA gets these calculations, but that is the calculation to figure out how much you would qualify for the Paycheck Protection Program. You could also have applied for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, although it is no longer open at this moment, but it might open in the future. And then the state of California has their Small Business Debt Relief Program that is available to you as well. Now that's on the funding side. For somebody, you know, if your business has been shut down, you've had a dramatic decrease in your sales, you can also apply for pandemic unemployment assistance, which is for 16 weeks, and that's through the EDD. So if you go to edd.ca.gov and go to pandemic unemployment assistance, and just follow the guidelines to see if you qualify based on their criteria, that would be $600 a week for the next 16 weeks, even if you don't pay into the system. And so this is also a great program that people aren't necessarily aware of that opened last month. So a couple different ways for you, you know, based on your situation in your business.
So if everyone wasn't able to get all of that, some really great information, but Mike does always recommend contacting the SBDC. You can talk with a real person and they can go through the individual options for you and your business. So our next question, we're back with the insurance commissioner and the department. You issued a bulletin requiring insurance companies to refund premiums. Will that be for any total monthly payment, and when should I be getting those funds?
Oh, great. Great question. You know, my order for premium refund, you know, was because the risk of accident or loss is much lower due to the statewide stay-at-home order, as I discussed. And we have been seeing fewer accidents and injuries on the road, falling business payrolls and receipts, reductions in liability exposure due to temporary closure of many businesses, for example. So essentially, the risk has gone away completely, has not gone away completely, I should say, but the department will be watching to make sure that the amount of insurance companies are returning is adequate. And so it should be a percentage of the months of April, March, and May. And it's all going to depend on what type of policy you have. Bryant from my office, who's a special counsel and has been working on this issue, can really give us some more of the detail. Bryant, are you on?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. And just as Commissioner Lara said, really we're talking about refunds that will be a percentage of your premium, not your entire premium. It's the percentages are going to be based upon the reduction in the risk for those months of March, April, and May. So it's not going to be a 100% refund, given that there is still some risk that the insurance company is covering for those of us who have this insurance, whether it's in any of the six lines the commissioner mentioned or in other lines where there's been a reduction due to these stay-at-home orders. And we have seen already a number of insurance companies that have announced premium reductions and credits throughout the state, and those announcements continue to come in. As the commissioner mentioned earlier, his bulletin directed all insurers to make an initial premium refund to all adversely impacted California policyholders as soon as possible, but certainly no later than August 11 of 2020. That's the final deadline by which the commissioner wants insurers to make sure they've returned that premium. The directive applies to the six lines the commissioner mentioned: private passenger automobile insurance, commercial automobile insurance, workers' compensation insurance, commercial multi-peril insurance, commercial liability insurance, and medical malpractice insurance. But this order also applies to other lines of coverage where the measures of risk have become substantially overstated as a result of the pandemic and the stay-at-home orders. We all recognize that there is a unique nature of each insurance policyholder base for each insurance company and coverage offered. So we've directed each insurance company to propose the best way to immediately return premium to policyholders based upon that company and that company's book of business. We also directed each insurer to report back to the commissioner how the insurer is going to fulfill this directive, and those reports are due by June 12th of 2020. So we'll be monitoring how insurers fulfill Commissioner Lara's order directing them to return money to consumers. But persons who have not received premium relief in spite of the reduction in risk are strongly encouraged to first contact their insurance company and inquire about when they can expect that premium relief. And if consumers are not satisfied with the answers that you get or you have other questions, as the commissioner and Mr. Signorelli mentioned earlier, we have an 800 number. We would encourage you to contact us at 1-800-927-4357 or at our website, insurance.ca.gov. And Commissioner Lara has also requested an extended grace period to pay your premium. So for those of you who have had trouble paying your premium, we would also certainly encourage you to contact your insurance company and inquire about the commissioner's grace period notice, where he's encouraged companies to give consumers additional time to pay premium amounts given the challenging times that we find ourselves in. And so back to you, Tony.
Okay, thank you. I know that this has been so helpful for many of the small businesses that I speak with, and I'm taking very good notes on this, so thank you so much. Not a total monthly payment, percentage of the amount for April, March, and May. We should be seeing something by August 11th as the very end. I know that I've actually already received something from my personal car, so thank you very much, Mr. Commissioner, for that. So our next question is for Assemblymember Cervantes, and this question is, how can we better control nursing home outbreaks among our vulnerable population?
Thank you, Tony. So just to quickly preface this, there's actually an estimated 9,000 licensed facilities for seniors and adult care in our state alone. And it's very important that we distinguish the difference between skilled nursing facilities and assisted living facilities. Skilled nursing facilities are ran by the Department of Public Health, which have more access to PPE and are run under a medical model, whereas the assisted living facilities are run by the Department of Public Social Services, which has much less access to PPE, and they are ran under a social model. But both of these populations are very vulnerable populations, especially during this pandemic. Data actually indicates that many assisted living facilities staff work at multiple locations due to low pay in the profession, which complicates the physical distancing and social isolation requirements needed to protect our most vulnerable populations. Ultimately, COVID-19 has exposed the system's fragile balance of depending on staff making a livable wage but increasing patient risk from working at multiple facilities in order for them just to make a living. We actually have heard from experts that have recommended that staff at both facilities should be tested on an ongoing basis to really make sure that they are not spreading the virus. Another thing we can do is make sure that both skilled nursing facilities and assisted living facilities have increased access to critical PPE, which is something we are working on and we are pushing forward from a county and Inland Empire perspective. I'm very much aware that our county is working with these facilities and creating a response team to provide ongoing training and resources. That is Riverside County. In addition, the State Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Mike Gawley, actually announced that we should be expecting further developments in this area on a statewide basis. And I hope that answers that question.
Very, very good. Okay. It's such an important issue, what's happening at our nursing homes and to our most vulnerable population. So our next question is back to Mike Daniels with the SBDC. This listener writes in, says, Our company qualifies for a PPP loan, but we have no opportunity to apply through a bank. Are there any other programs or support available?
Sure. You know, so if we're talking about the PPP and that was something that you still want to apply for, it is still open and we can help you figure out which lender you might choose and select based on, you know, what your business is doing and where you're at. If it's other types of options for you, so maybe it's, you know, maybe you were turned down, this question is kind of vague in that regard. There's other options and availability for you, not necessarily as a forgivable piece, but there are other options, whether it be a state program. I know the city and the counties are working through specialized programs, whether it be grants or forgivable loan pieces. So those will be coming down the pipeline, but love for you to call us and we can talk through it.
All right. Excellent advice. Call the SBDC. So for our next question, we're back to our insurance commissioner and the Department of Insurance. So this is kind of different than the other questions we've had. It said, my business has increased delivery and may even be driving more miles because of the stay-at-home orders. Will the premium refunds apply to operators of commercial vehicles as well as personal vehicles if they're driving more?
Yes. Again, great question. Yes, there are strong indicators demonstrating that the risk of accidents has fallen sharply due to the governor's stay-at-home orders. Just this week, I saw a report that fatal crashes are down 84% since March. Obviously, those who are not driving pose very little risk of loss, but also those essential businesses that must use our roads, these drivers are traveling on roads with substantially less traffic. So my April 13th and May 15th bulletin covers risk in many lines, as we keep saying, including personal and commercial automobile insurance lines. I encourage commercial trucking and delivery businesses, like all commercial businesses, to contact an insurance provider to ask how their insurance company is fulfilling my order. Also on April 10th, I've asked insurance companies to extend auto insurance coverage for drivers who are using their personal vehicles to fulfill deliveries for California's essential businesses during the pandemic. This action ensures that businesses can continue to provide essential goods to residents and families at their homes, and that delivery workers are going to be protected at all times so they may continue with their essential work.
Okay, thank you so much. Assembly member, our next question to you, and this one is always an important one. The writer says, I've been waiting several weeks to hear back on my unemployment insurance case. Why is there such a delay, and can your office help?
Yes, we've actually heard from many constituents regarding this matter. Actually, this is one of the issues that we deal with on a daily basis in which we have the most casework for. So we are working diligently, reaching out to EDD on every constituent's behalf. There has actually been more than 4.6 million Californians seeking unemployment assistance since March 12th. Again, that is 4.6 million Californians seeking unemployment assistance. Guiding the community and navigating the EDD process has been a focus of my office's efforts since the stay-at-home order has been in place. And so know that phone demands are exceeding EDD's capability. It's been frustrating when I hear from constituents who have not received payment and will already be returning to work. Cases need to be processed in a timely and judicious manner. So we are continuing to have discussions with the administration as it relates to this challenge. But I'm also pleased to see that Governor Newsom and his administration are committed to increasing EDD staffing, I believe by an additional 1,500, in addition to monetary investment. Both of which are critically needed to expedite the process of EDD claims. So this has been at the top of our caseload. Know that each case is very different and unique. So I would encourage you, if you have not done so, to contact my office and we can open a case on your behalf.
Thank you, Assembly Member. So we're getting down to just a few more minutes. We still have some questions, but we are going to stop questions in just about 5 minutes. So our next question is to Mike Daniels with the SBDC. And the question is regarding private contractors and freelance workers. So freelance workers are considered business owners, yet there doesn't seem to be a system that really affords them. Since these individuals are ineligible for unemployment insurance benefits, how do you think they can plan to get help during this time? And how and where can they submit any of these types of applications? And what kind of documents might they need?
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, pandemic unemployment assistance is definitely something that you should look at for independent contractors, freelance workers. I think that's definitely where I would start. If your business has been affected, your sales have gone down, you don't have work right now. So, again, that's edd.ca.gov and go to pandemic unemployment assistance and see if you fit the parameters. And if you do, that's $600 a week for the next 16 weeks or until your business starts up. And really, you know, whether it be funding opportunities, there are definitely funding opportunities from the federal, state, to local levels. But I think it's also time to take a look at your business and understand what a recovery process is going to look like and if there's other ways for you to offer your service and to offer what you do to business owners. Maybe it's using some technology through, you know, different methodologies. In fact, I had just gotten off the phone with a tutoring company that they were just closed because they said they couldn't do any tutoring, not realizing that with, you know, how we communicate today, I think Zoom and different forms of virtual conferencing and video conferencing are so, I think so many people are so used to it now that, you know, they didn't even think that I could be tutoring people directly through Zoom or through other forms of virtual conferencing. So I think you also need to think about, are there other ways that you could provide your service to people that they might need it now and just kind of rethinking how your business would run? But there are definitely a couple ways, whether it be unemployment insurance or pandemic unemployment assistance, funding possibly for your business, or just kind of rethinking your business as we start to recover.
All right. Really three very distinct but good ideas. Thank you so much. So our next question is for our insurance commissioner or the department, however, and that is the person writes in, my business is not considered essential, but I'm continuing to employ workers and pay my workers' compensation insurance. Can workers' comp, insurance companies exclude COVID-19 from their coverage, whether or not they're actually considered essential businesses?
Thank you. Workers' compensation insurers cannot exclude COVID-19 from their coverage. All workers affected by COVID-19 on the job are eligible for workers' compensation benefits, whether or not they are considered essential services. This includes workers engaged in frontline occupations, such as healthcare, emergency services, food production, sales, delivery, among others. Workers' compensation also is important to note, applies to our undocumented workers. In 2015, when I was in the state Senate, I authored SB 623, which was signed by Governor Brown, that expanded protections for undocumented workers in the event they are injured on the job, even if their employer does not carry workers' compensation insurance as required by law. I issued a notice to insurance companies on April 6th to remind insurance companies about these existing legal protections, not only for our undocumented workers, but for every worker across California. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So our last question, just a few minutes, this is going to go to Mike Daniels with our SBDC. And the question is, COVID-19 affects businesses differently, which impacts their timeline for reopening. How does the SBDC assist businesses with these staggered timelines for reopening?
Yeah, and that is such a great question. You know, as we move into phase two and we move into, you know, kind of partial reopening of retail, restaurant, hospitality types of businesses, dental offices just being able to reopen, you really need it. You need a recovery plan for yourself that is very defined by your own business based around, you know, I think you need to take a look at your sales and what you think they're going to be. We had done a poll with about 1,000 businesses that were local to the region, and what they felt was that their business sales were going to be down anywhere from 50 to 75% over the next 3 to 6 months and then slowly ramp up from there. That is a staggering number. That is a large amount to be down, and some businesses may not be able to survive with that, but you need to think about, if your sales are down 50%, how many employees are you going to bring back? You know, what does your staff look like? Can you reduce rent somehow? Can you not bring in so much inventory? Are there ways, you know, again, you need to start keeping cash in your accounts, making sure that you can survive the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months, maybe 2 years. We don't know what a full recovery looks like or if that will ever be the same as what it was today. And then I also think it's starting to think through especially restaurants. I think restaurants have been hit so hard. If we go to half capacity, so if your typical covers or seats in your restaurant are 100 and you have to go to 50, what is that going to look like? And then also, how do we use technologies in our places of business? So how do we go to cashless transactions? And so for restaurants, I think menus are going to be obsolete. There's a lot of companies and technology companies that offer technology that the minute you walk into that restaurant, the menu pops onto their phone, they order off their phone, they pay off of their phone, they don't touch anything. And I think there's going to be a lot of businesses that start to move in those types of directions. So I think really that's what you need to start thinking through of, you know, what does a slow recovery for my business look like, which is going to be different for everybody.
Well, thank you. I think that clearly I can see the SBDC is a very important resource here. Well, that's all the time for questions that we have today. Again, if your question was not answered, please contact our participants. We're going to email you with the contact information. Answers to the questions are going to be posted online, and we'll give you that information also. Assemblymember, would you like to provide just a few closing comments?
Yes, thank you. I also want to just thank Mike and Commissioner Lada as well and your team. And for those who submitted questions, I want everyone to know that my Capital and District offices are here to serve you, whether you want to voice your support, opposition, or ask any questions related to state legislation, or you simply need assistance accessing state resources. Again, we're here to serve you. We're always appreciate hearing from our economic and small business partners on matters that have direct impact on the residents of Riverside County and across the state as well. If you want to stay informed or hear about the work that my office is doing, be sure to follow us on any of the social media platforms. If you're not on social media, you can also sign up for our e-alerts, which is on my website at asmdc.org/Cervantes. But in closing, I know that much is being asked of Californians during these unprecedented times. So just rest assured that we are working together to ensure that this state remains a beacon of hope for everyone. We will continue to do all that we can to ensure that the people across our state, including our small business owners, have the access to vital resources that they both need and they deserve. So I will continue championing that at the state capitol and as your chair of the Jobs Committee. But thank you again for joining us today. I hope that you found this information today helpful. But with that, I would like to allow Commissioner Lara to share some final words.
Thank you, Assemblywoman, and thank you to your great staff. Again, it's always a pleasure to work with you, and thank you for the leadership you're demonstrating and continue to show for Riverside County and quite frankly, the state. Again, to our business owners, I know we threw a lot of information at you, but please feel free to contact us if you have any questions. We've transitioned the majority of our staff to telework, and we have live folks. You're going to talk to a human being. I know some people get anxiety when I give you a 1-800 number, but we have insurance experts that are there Monday through Friday to help answer your questions, provide you with some sort of information, guide you through the process. I understand insurance is so technical, and it's often difficult to understand. Your job is to run your business, and our job is to look after you as consumer and business owner. So please do not hesitate to call us at 1-800-927-4357, or you can reach us at insurance.ca.gov. Thank you again, and please stay safe, and we really appreciate the work that our small businesses are doing to survive and get through this, and we will continue to provide and offer resources to all of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's 2 o'clock, and that concludes today's call. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you again for using the AT&T teleconference service. You may now disconnect. Thank you, everyone.